Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment to look at it together. We pray, Father, that you would indeed teach us what it is to live those lives, those kingdom lives of your people that bring honour to Jesus. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, in this series, we've been thinking about the blessed life, that comes in Jesus. But as we do so, we also need to talk about the cost of following Jesus. I don't know if you've ever done a short course on the basics of Christianity or an overview of Christianity, a quick plug. If you haven't done a course like that and you'd like to learn more about Jesus, or if you've got questions about Christianity, let us know. We've got a short 6-week course that we can do on Zoom. If you send an email to livestream@stmarks.com.au or put it on a communication card, we'll get in touch and love to do that course with you. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I don't know if you've been part of a course like that, or you've read a book about Christianity, or had a conversation with someone about following Jesus. But if you have, then you know that something that you have to speak about with people is the cost of following Jesus. Counting the cost of becoming a Christian. That is, the hardship that will come into your life if you choose to follow Jesus. While he offers life, peace with God, forgiveness, acceptance, all incredible blessings, there is a cost to following Jesus. The Christian life is hard. There are times when it costs. Jesus tells his disciples that they will have to pick up their crosses and follow him. A hardship that comes with swallowing your pride and making changes in your life, hard changes. The difficulty of losing respect in the eyes of others, all because you follow Jesus. Like when my mum became a Christian. She's from a Hindu background, and she spent 2 years considering the cost of becoming a Christian. 2 years after she'd understood who Jesus is, because she knew how disappointed her family would be if she became a Christian. Living the Christian life costs. So it might not always seem like the blessed life. I'm sure you might be pondering things that the Christian life has cost you. What have you lost or had to say no to? Time, money, job opportunities, fun, maybe it's relationships. So why persevere with the Christian life? Why keep going if it is a path marked with suffering? Well, I think the answer to that lies in these last Beatitudes. They describe the blessed life as a hard life. And so as we work through them, we'll see why, even though it is a hard life, this is the blessed life. And a quick reminder of those three aspects we've been thinking about each week that we should have in the back of our mind to help us understand these Beatitudes. What would the disciples understand? How is this fulfilled in Christ? And what does it therefore mean for us? Let's look at our first Beatitude today. We'll speak one that speaks of costly peace. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Probably one of the most famous Beatitudes because of a bunch of British comedians. But notice it says peacemakers, not cheesemakers. Peacemakers. Now, I think this image, the image that this conjures up for me is one of political leaders gathered around a table signing peace treaty documents. But let's see what kind of peacemaking that Jesus has in mind. The picture of a peacemaker in Jesus' mind, and so also the disciples' minds, was linked to the Old Testament people of God. Israel were called to be those who sought peace. Psalm 34 describes who God's people were to be. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The life that God's people were to live involved striving after peace. And this is much more about peace in the day-to-day, I think, relational peace. And so what Jesus is saying in this beatitude is that those who live as God's people, who live that life of peace, are called sons of God. And this, again, makes a lot more sense if you think about it in its Old Testament context. The Son of God in the Old Testament was, among other things, a description of Israel, a description of God's people. They were his children. And so, in essence, this beatitude is saying that those who seek peace are blessed because it shows that they're in an intimate relationship with God as his children. Or to put it another way, God's children show they are his children in their desire for peace. It's kind of like being a member of a family business. Let's take cheesemakers, for example. Their actions in the business show that they're part of the family. So if you've got people who are those who know their cheddar from their gouda, or if they smell a bit or a lot like dairy, or if they're able to whip up a batch of cheese, if that even is what you do, you can tell I don't know what being a cheesemaker is. If they can do all these things, if they do these actions, then they show they're part of this, you know, a privileged cheesemaking family. The Israelites were to be those who sought peace, showing that they were part of God's family, his cherished people, cherished children. And the ultimate Israelite, the ultimate son, is of course Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus sent into the world to bring peace, peace between people, but most importantly, peace between people and God. A peace that is needed because of the way that people have rejected God. We are at war with him as we ignore and reject him. And so we need peace and reconciliation with him. And Jesus is the Son of God who brings peace and reconciliation achieved through his cross. And this peace is a costly peace. Colossians 1 says this: once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, brings us peace, costly peace, with God through his death. And those who follow Jesus are adopted as God's children. And as his children, we are to take on the family likeness and work in the family business. We seek peace, that same costly peace. And I think this is what Jesus will go on later to say in Matthew 5, in verse 43 of Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. We who live the blessed life are those who seek reconciliation. We work for peace, even when it costs. Where we need to swallow our pride and take initiative to repair a broken relationship. Perhaps having to spend many an uncomfortable moment putting yourself in that kind of vulnerable position in order to reconcile with somebody. Or having emotionally taxing interactions, all to bring harmony and peace back to a relationship. For those who are married, there are plenty of these moments in our marriages, aren't there? And we should be seeking to be the first to seek for peace, to ask for forgiveness, to reconcile and restore the problems that are happening. But this is not just for the married, but for all of us. I mean, think about all of us are part of families. And often in our families is where we have these most fractured relationships. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about the relationship with my brother. It took a few hard and awkward conversations to work towards reconciliation and peace. Where are those relationships in your life? Where there's damage and distance? What do you need to do to work for peace? What steps, what painful steps have you been putting off? How can you seek reconciliation and restoration. As children of God, we are those who work for peace. And as we do so, our action shows that we are part of God's family. The blessed life is one of peace, intimate, loving relationship with God. And what's more, we have the blessing of being in a community of God's children, where we all work towards peace and harmony. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. In verse 10 to 12, we move to our last Beatitudes, and they're linked, both about persecution. But they are different, so we'll look at each one in turn. The first one is verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is about facing pressure when living God's way, being persecuted for righteousness. That is, being persecuted for living the right way, living God's way. And this is an experience that the Jews were familiar with. Listen to Isaiah describe this in Isaiah chapter 51. Hear me, you who know what is right, you people who have my law in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men or be terrified by their insults. And the call of many of the Psalms is the same. It's for God to help his righteous people when they're faced with oppression. And so this beatitude confirms that Old Testament idea. Those who do God's righteous will suffer for it. But in suffering, they show that they're part of God's kingdom. They show that they are God's people. And the blessing of that being that though they suffer, they are God's people whom he cares for and loves and will bless. The second part comes in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Notice how this one is different to the rest of the Beatitudes. Blessed are you. Jesus moves from the descriptive those, blessed are those, to a more specific you, blessed are you. He wants the disciples to know, to understand, that he's speaking about their future experience, rather than the experience of Israel. Blessed are you when people persecute you because of me, of Jesus. Jesus speaks to them about the persecution they will face as they follow him. At this stage, the persecution hasn't happened. People are pretty pumped to see Jesus, and we see that in these enormous crowds gathering to see him. But as the Gospels unfold, and particularly the book of Acts unfolds, we'll see this persecution come. Now, this category of those who are persecuted for Jesus' sake, those who are insulted because they follow Jesus, that's a category that we fit in today. But before we think about how it works out for us, I think we still need to think about how the blessing Jesus speaks of comes in him. In Jesus, of course, we see the ultimate righteous sufferer, the one who always does what God deems as right. He is fully obedient to his Father's will, and he faces persecution for this. He is insulted, harassed, falsely accused, and ultimately he's killed for his obedience to his Father. Yet this persecution and his murder is what brings the kingdom of heaven. Though those who were opposed to him thought that they were stopping him, his suffering is what establishes his kingdom. And Jesus offers entrance into this kingdom for all who will follow him. Though, as we can see here, following him will be hard. The Christian life is hard. We follow a righteous sufferer. And we too should expect suffering as we live for Jesus. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Now, whether you're a follower of Jesus already, or if you're thinking about following Jesus, you need to know this. There is a cost to following him. And so for those of us who do follow Jesus, let me ask you this question. Have you experienced this hardship in your life? Have you had times where you've had to count the cost for following Jesus? Perhaps you know this cost all too well. I will speak about why we should continue to endure in this in a moment. But before we get there, I'd like to take a minute to speak to those who haven't yet experienced any hardship in following Jesus. I think there are two sides to this. First, perhaps your life just isn't obvious enough to attract this persecution. Your life's not clearly Christian, and so it doesn't invite the insult. Do people know that you're a Christian? Do you live in a way that looks different so that people know, can see that you follow Jesus? Or do you keep that stuff under the radar? I don't know if you remember all the debates that went around with the same-sex marriage stuff a few years ago. It was a tense moment to be a Christian. Emotions and outrage were running high. And it was really easy just to hide for fear of the response of those around us. Easy to allow people just to think that you completely agreed with them, rather than letting them see that because you follow Jesus, you weren't able to join in their rejoicing in their celebration of sin. Is it clear from your life that you follow Christ? Second, perhaps on the other side of it, perhaps you don't feel like you've experienced that kind of insult or persecution, though you are seeking to live a life that is obviously for Christ. I think I want to say, you don't need to take this as a sign that you're not in Christ, but just realize that this persecution just hasn't come yet. Persecution will come. Rejoice that it hasn't come yet. Or maybe you've become numb to the insult. That family who doesn't really respect you anymore since you became a Christian, but you don't really mention it. All who want to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And if this is the case, why do we continue in following Jesus? Well, look what Jesus speaks of, the kingdom of heaven and future reward. Blessing is coming for all who follow Christ. The blessing of living in intimate relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. The blessing of living in his kingdom where there will be no more suffering or pain. The blessing of living in this kingdom where there will be no more sin. And we will enjoy harmonious and peaceful life with one another. Life as it was meant to be. We endure in following Christ because blessing is coming. And as we do so, we follow Jesus. We follow the righteous sufferer's example. Hebrews 12 says this, "For the joy set before him, that is Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Consider Jesus' example as we strive for the blessing to come. We must endure in following Jesus. Endure in doing good, even when it's hard. It's kind of like our current COVID situation, isn't it? We all seek to do the right thing, even though it's the hard thing. We stay home, we wear masks, we refrain from trying to cut our own hair in lockdown. We endure these hard things because we look to the future. Life free of restriction, free of QR codes. But I think as we think about the Christian life, it's the long haul endurance that's the hardest. The marathon rather than the sprint, the marathon of continuing to strive for good, even though opposed. That's, I think, where we can be worn down in following Jesus. We can be tempted to give up on Jesus because of ongoing external pressure. That might look like insult and ridicule, or it might just be the peer pressure of doing what everyone else is doing, that pressure to go with the flow. For example, having another beer at the party, when we could have parties, because you don't want to seem like that uptight Christian. Going along to the kids' party, even though it meant you missed church, because you don't want your kids to miss out and bear their cost for following Jesus. For me, that struggle to endure, it's the public stuff. It's actually posting Christian stuff on social media. It takes a lot of effort for me to post anything, but particularly to post things that are Christian, because I'm worried about what people will think of me. Now, a few years ago, I was working with a Christian group up in Brisbane. And around Easter, some of the students decided to post their testimonies on Facebook. And for them, these students, their whole lives existed on Facebook. So this was massive. They wanted to reach out to their friends and share the gospel. And I remember this one student, Aaron, he posted his video. And in the comments of his video, a couple of his friends mocked him. "Aren't you the guy who was encouraging us all to get drunk a few years ago?" Now, if I read that kind of comment, I would have shriveled up and died. And I felt for Aaron. I felt in the pit of my stomach for him as I read those comments. But he graciously engaged with his friends. He tried to meet up with them and tell them how Christ had changed his life. He bore the cost, the social embarrassment, the awkwardness, and he kept seeking to do good. He knew it was better to be rejected by his friends and seen as that weirdo Christian than to be rejected by Jesus on that last day. Endure in following Christ, even when it is hard. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessed life is one that experiences persecution. Blessed are those who suffer for doing good. The Christian life is hard, so why keep at it? But the blessing that comes is not the persecution. We're not masochists. The blessing is not the persecution, but what it proves. Like gold refined in a fire, proved to be valuable gold through the hardship of that heat. The persecution and hardship that comes with following Jesus shows who we are. It shows that we are children of God. It shows that we are part of the kingdom of heaven. And as those who are part of the kingdom, we will be blessed. We are blessed as we inherit the kingdom alongside Jesus, our brother. We are blessed as we are at peace with God, as we are his cherished children. We are blessed as we live alongside our Christian brothers and sisters in a community where we strive for peace and harmony. Friends, we long for this blessing, but we should expect suffering as those who follow Christ. And I think this is what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 12. "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice. Inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Those who suffer for following Christ and doing good are blessed, for they prove themselves to be God's precious children. And as his children, they will inherit, we will inherit every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is why it's worth enduring in the Christian life, even though it's hard. We are able to endure suffering now because we know that in Christ we will be free of it later. Blessed are those who suffer for doing God's good, for they are his children who inherit blessing in Christ. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, please help us to live for you, to endure in living rightly for Christ, even when this is hard. We pray particularly for those, our brothers and sisters, who endure very hard persecution and insult. Please hold on to them and help us all to see that future blessing that is coming. And so keep living faithfully for Jesus. Amen.